Stop judging me. How many have ever made that statement? All right, y'all don't want to be honest today. You probably said that. Or let me ask you this. How many of you ever heard that statement? You're judging me. Yeah, we've all heard that statement. Stop judging me or you're judging me. And that's what I'm going to preach on this subject today. The Lord put that on my heart. Stop judging me. Don't judge me. Well, I've got news for you. This right here, this book right here, it's the ultimate judge. And what God says is true. So this is the judge right here. And the Word of God lays down the judgment. Don't judge me. You know, sometimes we can be wrong. Do you know that? Sometimes we can actually be wrong. We might think that we know what's going on with somebody else, but we all could be wrong. Have you ever been wrong about something? You thought that this person was doing this, or this was the motive of this person, and you come find out you were wrong. So be careful, beloved, about judging one another. I remember one time not long ago, well, actually it was a little bit ago, I remember going to a home to visit. And this particular home, I walked through the gate, the chain link fence in the front yard, and they had a couple of dogs in the front yard, and I went into the house and sat in the house. They had a couple of dogs, small house dogs. And as I sat down at the table, I began to smell this bad odor. Don't look at your neighbor. It was this terrible odor. And I got to thinking, I said, something stinks. And I said, it stinks awful in this house. I'll be honest with you. I just began thoughts. You know, thoughts begin to run through your mind. You just can't help it. And the longer I sat there, the more I thought, my, this house stinks. this smells terrible. And finally, after about 10 or 15 minutes of thinking that in my mind, or the thoughts coming in my mind, I looked down at my shoe and I'd stepped in a pile of dog manure. And I was the one stinking. It wasn't the house, all right? Sometimes you might be the one, or I might be the one that stinks, and we think somebody else stinks, all right? That's the moral of the story. Don't judge me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Oh, yes. I want to invite you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As we see, there are three steps to liberated living I think the Lord wants to speak to us about. This subject is so common in this matter of judging. Well, what does the Word of God say about it? And furthermore, what did the Lord Jesus say about it? Don't judge me. Here's where we're going in the message. Three steps to go from legalism to liberated living. From legalism to liberated living. You remember the Lord Jesus spoke about judging. He said it, for example, in the book of Matthew chapter 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, he said, judge not and be not judged. Say that with me. Judge not and be not judged. Say it again. Judge not and be not judged. But then people say that, but then they never read the rest of what Jesus said. You need to read the whole Bible. Somebody say amen. Don't just take one verse out of context. Don't just build some pet theory on just a few phrases or one verse of Scripture. If you continue to read in Matthew 7, you'd find out the Lord Jesus said this, and I'm paraphrasing. First, he said, cast out that big tubifor or beam in your own eye, then you'll be able to see how to cast out the splinter, the little bitty sawdust in your brother's eye. So that tells me that the Lord was indicating that we are to first examine ourselves before we pass judgment on anybody else. And in the context of what we're reading today, we're going to be reading about a church, namely the Church of Corinth, and how this relates to us as blood-bought, blood-washed, redeemed children of God. Should I go to my brother? Should I talk to my sister? And furthermore, what about in a lawsuit? What about when somebody does something wrong? Should I carry my brother or sister to court? Evidently, this was going on in the Church of Corinth. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, lays down some principles about don't judge one another, but three steps whereby you can, in fact, you can go from legalism to liberated living. Here they are. Number one, we'll notice in the text, verses 1 through verse number 8,
Are Christians supposed to judge one another? That's the first thought I want to drop in your mind. We'll read the text in a moment. Are Christians supposed to judge one another? Listen, beloved, you're going to need this. Because if there's one thing that's as prominent as anything else, it is this one thing. Even among Christian people, saying things, getting our feelings hurt. You're judging me. You said something about me. Facebook, Twitter, whatever, a text in the school, orally, on the job, whatever, in the church. What should we do? How should we respond? Well, we're going to find out. Not only are Christians supposed, I'm asking that in a rhetorical question. Are Christians supposed to judge one another? I want to know. Number two, not only are Christians supposed to judge one another, but is there a high cause for low living? Is there a high cause for low living? We'll see that in verse number 9 and 10 and 11. And then finally, we'll wrap it up as we see not only to going from legalism to liberty, but number 3, and it's this. Who are you want to please? Who is it that you want to please? We'll see that from verses 12 through verse 20. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're there, would you stand up and say amen? Amen. As we read the wonderful word of God. Now keep in mind, the church of Corinth had a number of issues. And this particular church had come out of a pagan background, literally. And furthermore, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 1 that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing, but to us that are saved is the power of God. Chapter 2, he said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech that your faith should rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then chapter 3, among maturity and moving on from milk of the word to the meat of the word, he talks about Jesus building that foundation, namely at the judgment seat of Christ. Nor the foundation can any man lay than that which has been laid in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4, I'm leading up to where we're reading. And he says, the Apostle Paul, that we should be good stewards of what God has entrusted us. Chapter 5, there's evidently an issue in the church of Corinth, and the Apostle Paul is addressing the issue. We said all that to lead us to chapter 6 of the book of 1 Corinthians. By the way, those of you that are here today that think there's going to be such thing as a perfect church, there's not. There's not in the Bible, there weren't in Jesus' day, there weren't in Paul's day, there's not going to be in our day. And by the way, if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, everything will be okay because he's the only one that's perfect. Amen. And so I can find fault with you. You can find fault with me. But I got news for you. You can't find fault with Jesus. I find no fault in his blood. I find no fault in his crucifixion. I find no fault in his words. I find no fault in his resurrection. I find no fault in the Lord. And so we're going to look at that today. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, let's begin, please, in verse 1. If you're there, say amen one more time. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? What in the world is he talking about? Verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Paul's saying, wait a minute. Let's keep reading. And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? Now, I confess, I don't understand all of that. I know a man was made a little lower than the angels. We shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things, verse 4, pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed of the church. I speak this to your shame. Verse 5, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Why are you dragging your Christian brothers to court and suing them? That's what he's saying. Is it right to carry your brother and sister to court in front of the lost world? And the lost world said, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're them old Pharisee Christians. They're always fussing and fighting. They got long noses and they're always pointing their finger at us, but they're no better than anybody else. You've heard it. I got news for you. No, nobody's better than anybody else, yet by the grace of God. That's all we are, by the grace of God. Not perfection, mind you, but Paul the Apostle is laying down some real good principles here. I think that we ought to incorporate by the power of the Holy Spirit into our life in regards to how to treat each other. Look at this. And verse number 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because to go to law with one another, and why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Verses 1 through 8. The question is, are Christians supposed to judge one another? All right, keep that in your thought, in your back of your mind. Keep reading, verse number 9. And then the Apostle Paul says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, don't be misled, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then I like what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. Boy, I tell you, I can feel that finger of Paul pointing right back to me. And such were some of you. Don't think you're so self-righteous this morning that God didn't get you out of the trash can too. Somebody say amen. It was the mercies of God and the love of God that got me out. I don't know about you, but it was me. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Don't forget where you've been, Christian. Such were some of you. But, I like this part. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. You see, we're a new creature now. You're washed. You're sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that good a word? Oh, praise the Lord. I know it's not of myself. It's all of Him. And then look at verse 12. Underline this. I wish we had time to deal with it. We won't. We'll just simply allude to it a little bit further in the message. Notice verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That is, they're not always profitable. In other words, I can have liberty to eat meat, and I can have liberty to do this and that, but wait a minute, in chapter 8 of Corinthians, chapter 14 of Romans, chapter 15 of Romans, if it makes my brother to stumble, hey, look, it might not bother me, my conscience, but it might make my brother or sister to stumble. And if that's the case, I ought not to do it. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Boy, I tell you, this really opens up a whole new dimension of Christianity and holy living when it comes to pleasing God rather than pleasing ourselves. Look at this, verse 12 again. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but look what he says at the end. But I will not be brought under the power of what? Any. I don't know about y'all, but it's hard for me to draw the line. If I'm going to be a football fan, or if I'm going to be a fan of anything, or if I'm going to do something, man, I want to do it with all my might. It's hard for me to draw the line. And I don't know about you, but with me, I don't know. But if I'm going to do something, I'm going to put my whole heart in it, and I want to do it with all my might. And the next thing you know, if I'm not careful, the thing that I'm doing can become a dominating force in my life. Are you with me? Y'all are quiet today, but you know what I'm talking about. It can just consume us if we're not careful. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it the best? There's something about it. It can just really take us away from heaven's best, that is the Lord Jesus, and being submitted to His will for our life. All right, so he said, I'll not be brought under the power of the enemy. That is, I'm not going to let anything control me but the power of the Holy Spirit. I want my heart to go out to the Lord. I want to have a heart for God. I want to be pleasing Him. Oh, that doesn't mean we're not to be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world, because greater is He that is in me than He's in the world. Look at verse 13. Meat is for the belly, and belly for the meat, but God shall destroy both of it and them. But now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up by His own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Look at verse 20. God knows He's redeemed us by His own blood. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. And the church said, amen And amen and amen. This is the Word of God. Father, thank you now. I'm nothing but your everything. And I thank you, Lord, I was along that crowd in Corinth, just like that, going down the wide and the broad gate, marching to the drums of the devil's drum beat. And God in mercy, I thank you that you arrested my steps and changed my life and called me to follow you. And Lord, I haven't always done that the best, Lord, that would be pleasing to you. But dear Lord, I thank you where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I ask somehow, some way, Father, today that you'll bless us, your people, as we become discerning, as we become wise in the day in which we're living. Lord, we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We want you to impart to us wisdom and revelation, the eyes of our understanding enlightened. We want you to empower us, dear God, by your Holy Spirit to enable us to live a spirit-filled life, not controlled by the flesh or the normal life according to the dictates of the world, but Lord, a life that's set apart with you in us, the hope of glory. Dear Lord, give us grace today to draw near to you. I pray for a fresh cleansing in my heart, a filling of your Holy Spirit. And we ask you to give us ears to hear and change us, Lord. Things, wrong motives, wrong words, and relationships. Dear God, we need you now. And we thank you now for victory, your precious blood, and your second coming. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Follow with me just a moment now. Number one, is it right for Christians to judge one another? Should Christians judge one another? I can see the Apostle Paul right now. Here's what he's saying. Church, Corinth. There's some people in this church right here, Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. Y'all been arguing for a long time. And you know, you're doing it kind of discreetly, of course. But something has happened between Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, and you can't get it settled. And so now Brother so-and-so has decided to take you to court, and he's going to take you to court, and he's going to take you in front of all the lost world, and you're going to parade your dirty laundry. You're going to call each other's names. You're going to bicker and fight and fuss, and the lost world's going to see it and say, aha, that stuff that you're talking about, the church and Christianity, there's nothing to it. Don't come talking to me about Christianity. You see, the world is watching us. I said the world's watching you and me. And they're watching how you act on your job. And they're watching how we treat people in the restaurant. And they're watching how we respond to one another, not only in the church, but outside of the church. I'll tell you what, beloved, you know it as well as I do, that the devil doesn't care what he uses as long as he gets his way. So here is the context of what's going on. Now, I want to ask you a couple of more questions. And the first question is, does anybody have a mirror? You ladies got mirrors, I hope. Anybody got a mirror I can borrow? Anybody got a mirror I can borrow? I need a mirror. Come on now, don't act like you did come to church without a mirror, all right? We're talking about, anybody got a mirror I can borrow? All right? Okay, Deanna's got a mirror. It's too small. I'm sorry. Amen. Let me borrow this one right here. A mirror, okay? I want to ask you a question. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? I can see some of you needed to, but you didn't. Amen. Maybe you need to go back home and look in the mirror and fix that hair. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, of course. But you look in the mirror, and what do you see in the mirror? You look in the mirror, and guess what's looking at you? Guess what you see? You see yourself, don't you? Hey, but guess what? When you look in the mirror, what can't you see? Ah, you can't see the back of your head, can you? I can see on top of my head. I can see I'm getting thinner on the top. Somebody say amen. The hair goes through parted, unparted, and departed, all right? So one lady said to her husband, said, honey, would you be offended if I changed my hair and turn it red? He said, why should I? I've loved you through the other five colors, all right? One more won't matter to me. But when you look in the mirror, here's what you see. You see yourself. And that's the whole message. If you want to fault find, or nitpick, or criticize somebody else, you just need to look in the mirror first. That's what he's saying. Look in the mirror first, and then you see, you know what the mirror will do? The mirror, I'm not saying your hair's out of place, Brother Garrett, but the mirror will, what will the mirror do? It will show you what? Where you need to fix that hair and do all that to manicure, pedicure, that's not a good word. Anyway, it'll show you what you need to do, right? That mirror will, but it won't fix it, will it? It won't fix. Speaking of hair, I read this week, has nothing to do with the message, I read this week Donald Trump is taking medicine for his hair, in case you're wondering, all right? How many have been wondering about that? Anyway, it's all right to smile, brother, okay? No, but really, and the article, did y'all read that, where Donald Trump's taking hair tonic? It's a special Donald Trump hair tonic. I'm serious. Did y'all know that? You didn't know that. Yes, that's what the article said. And the article said that the hair tonic that Donald Trump has taken, according to his doctor, has some side effects on it, all right? I'll just put it to you this way. His wife is living in New York, and he's living in Washington. You figure it out. Hello, you figure it out. Anyway, I thought I'd just, a merry heart do good like medicine. And if you looked out and saw the crowd that I see every Sunday morning, it looks like some folks been winged on a pickle, amen? Just looks like some people got a mad, they're here, but they're mad as fire. They don't want to be here, mad as fire. Hey, look in the mirror, beloved, look in the mirror. We're here to worship the Lord. But wait a minute, not only look in the mirror, I want you to look in the mirror of God's Word. The book of James, chapter 1, says the Word of God is like a mirror. Have you noticed that? See, if you got all against your brother, and I will tell you something. Look, you probably won't get caught for murdering somebody, I trust. You won't get in trouble for some kind of, extreme thing. But I tell you what the devil will do. Listen, the devil will get you mad at somebody in the church. Somebody didn't say something, somebody did say something, and you got in a mess, and you get your eyes off Jesus, and the next thing you know, you get out of the will of God, and the devil is laughing the whole way. This is serious business. Even the most spiritual people I never would have thought would have bombed out with God 25 years ago have found fault with somebody in the church or something didn't happen in the church, and they got there, they come up to me and they say, "Preacher, I got my feelings hurt." You know what I want to tell them? Get over it. Get over it. Just get over it, all right? Get over it. Somebody say amen. I can tell the ones that, hey, look at me. Who hadn't got their feelings hurt? Hello? Who hadn't got their feelings hurt in a church? Everybody's have done it. You get your feelings hurt at home. Give me a break. You get your feelings hurt on your job. And somebody says, "Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go down to that church, a bunch of hypocrites down there." You've heard what I said about that. There's always room for one more. Always room for one more. By the way, the Lord Jesus is going to separate the tares from the wheat. I don't have to worry about that. In fact, I read in my Bible where the churches during Jesus' day, in Paul's day, they had tares among the wheat. Somebody say amen. They had difficulty. Since when did the world think that everybody ought to be perfect? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Some people, I hate to say this, but some people, did your mom ever tell you, "Son, you got what?" See, all you want to do is fault find somebody else, and all you want to do is go around and try to dig out something wrong with them. And boy, we're just good at that. Christian people, once you get in the church, and watch this, if you don't really get right with God, and if you don't really repent, and if all of your motives is just to move up the political, ecclesiastical ladder and see what kind of position you can get in the church and try to wheel and deal, and you're not really getting right with God, I want to tell you, you're going to turn out like so many have turned out, to be a miserable Christian. Amen. A miserable Christian. And some of you are right there today, aren't you? I love you, but I got to tell you that. Somebody needs to tell me that when pastor is not looking in the mirror first. I'm the world's worst. I can get real critical real fast. Somebody say amen. Can y'all? No, y'all can't? Come on, talk to me. Can I tell you something happened to me yesterday? Yesterday, I've been battling the sinus stuff, and And so I called. I wanted to go to the med stop. I said, man, I got to have an antibiotic. I'm just, this stuff has really got me down. And anyway, so they said, I called the med stop. And they said, you can go online and you got to register before you get here or else you won't get a place. And I said, all right, I'll do whatever it takes. I need, I need to get some kind of, I've got an infection, you know, sinus infection, da-da-da. So anyway, so I went online and it said, sorry, you can't sign up online. Just show up at the place. It's CVS. I won't call out where it's at. You probably know where it's at anyway. And so, man, I'm feeling miserable. I'm just needing some help. I was like, oh, who was it? I thought about, what's the old man's name? He's in heaven now. What's the man's name? Anyway, he talked about a coon up in a tree. And he said, man, somebody, what was his name? Yeah, Jericho said, man, just shoot up amongst us. He had an old coon in his hand. He was a Christian, by the way. He said, I just need to shoot up amongst us. I need some relief, all right? Anyway, that's the way I felt. I thought about Jerry Clower. I heard him, by the way, speaking at a convention one time, his Christian testimony. Anyway, so here I get to this place. Now, I've driven about an hour, and I've got other things I need to do. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you. And then I get there to this place, and I go up to this computer, and it tells all these names that are waiting 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then the next thing you know, somebody comes out and says, sorry, we don't have time. How many know that'll bless you? How many know I had great thoughts? I was saying, oh, bless the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, you would have too, right? No, I don't think so. I'm thinking, are you serious? I drove all the way up here. But let me tell you what God does. And so I got there, and they told me they didn't have time, and it probably wouldn't be there. And so I just, Lord, held my tongue. And I said, oh, Lord, you know the situation. And I just stood there for about a minute. About that time, my next-door neighbor walked out of the room. Next-door neighbor, he had been there too. And I said, what are you here? Blah, blah, blah. We talked a little bit. And then next thing you know, he said, well, you know what? There's some people that hadn't showed up. And about that time, I hadn't been there 5 minutes. About that time, the nurses walked out, and they said, come on back, sir. We can take you next. See how convicted I was? Have a bad attitude? You see how God works? Oh, yeah, are Christians supposed to judge one another? And the answer is, look, if we can't let the Spirit of God that's in you and in you, if we can't work it out among us and love each other, something's wrong. I said, something's wrong. I said, if you fall out with your brother and sister, and you know what? I like to use this illustration. The children of Israel did that quite a lot, and you know what they did? They pouted. They murmured. Say murmur. Murmur. One more time. Murmur. Isn't that what we do? Murmur. That's just what we do. I heard about a little girl that was carrying a toddler who was a big toddler, by the way. And the little girl wasn't much bigger than the toddler. She's walking down the road, and a man sees her and says, honey, That boy is really too big for you to be carrying. That's too big a load for you. And the little girl looked at the man and said, sir, you don't understand. That's my brother. That's my brother. That is my brother. And she said, I love my brother. I can carry my brother. Y'all look up here a moment. Look up here. Look up here. I want to tell you, if I'm blood-bought and blood-washed, and I'm a part of the family of God, and you've been blood-bought and blood-washed, you are my brother, you are my sister, and I want to tell you something. Praise God, we can carry each other with the power of prayer. We ought to love each other. We ought to pray for each other. We ought to criticize each other, but we ought to be carrying each other to the throne of grace, because that's what the church is all about. Amen and amen and amen. Tell me, are you carrying your brother, or are you trying to smash your brother? Are you trying to compete against each other and to make each other look bad and try to be, you know, this way or that way? Oh, brother, we've missed the mark. We've missed the mark. No wonder we need a revival. Oh, we can talk about revival all day long, but until we really deal with the hidden issues in our heart and the real motives of our heart, there ain't going to be no revival. There ain't going to be no revival. And God, I'm telling you, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer, not my brother, not my sister. I'm not going to ask you how many had bad thoughts last week, But probably some of us had some bad thoughts about maybe each other, husbands and wives, maybe family. I don't know. But I know this. Are Christians supposed to judge each other? Oh, first you got to do what? Look in what? You do what? You first look where? I said you look where? Look in the mirror. Why are you looking in the mirror? Examine yourself before God before you try to get a little bitty old piece of sawdust out of your brother's eye, and you got a big, and I got a big old tuba for it, and my. Look in the mirror. Have you doing that? Oh, I hadn't thought about that, Brother Pastor. You need to do that today. And then you know where you need to look? You need to look in the mirror of God's Word. Oh, brother, it'll show you not only what's out of place, this mirror shows me what's out of place, but it doesn't correct it. But the Word of God has correcting power. Yes, it really does. Number two, I want you to see for a moment, not only are Christians supposed to judge one another. You get the point, don't you? If you get it, say amen. Are you going to follow up and do what God tells you to do when something happens in the church, in your Sunday school class, or with a Sunday school teacher, or with some staff, or with a pastor? Are you going to do what the Bible tells you to do? Wait a minute, I don't know, I didn't plan to say this. But are you going, watch this, this is what some people do. In the church, something goes wrong, and then they'll do this. Are you on my side? You got my back? All right, thanks, man. All right, let's see who else we can get. Who else you think will be on our side? Let me go get somebody else and... You going to be on our side too? This is what we do in the church, folks. Look at me. Say amen. And we call somebody on the phone. I can't believe it. This is going on at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, and they didn't even invite me. My picture wasn't on the screen. They didn't recognize me. I wasn't in the bulletin. I'm not going back. Cry baby, go get your baby pants off and put on your big boy pants. Can I say that? I love you, but you know me by now. I love you. And I tell you, the church is so full of baby Christians. and if we could grow up in the Lord, amen, I think it'd really make a difference. You see, that's what we do. And then the next thing you do, we want to influence people in the church that we got influence with. And the next thing you do, we cause a division in the church. Or in fact, you say, Pastor, is anything going on right now? Zero that I know of. Zero. I'm not preaching this to try to point anybody out. I'm pointing this out because God led me to the scripture, all right? I'm pointing it out because I know my own heart is prone to do just what I'm telling you. And none of us are exempt from it. He that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. You might end up right where I'm talking about. Yet by the grace of God. Hear me now. I've seen people after people bomb out with God, get mad at something going on in the church or upset or whatever. I'm not going to church anymore. And they get out there in the world and the devil gets a hold of them. They get a bad attitude. Or, hey listen, I'm not saying this critically. I know God sometimes leads you elsewhere to other churches and stuff. But a lot of people, they'll bounce from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church. And they've been in 10 churches. They had 10 fights. And they got moss on their back. And all they're looking for is another fight in another church. I can't hear you. Hey, folks, I know you'd rather not hear this, but this is the honest truth. As a pastor of 25 years, I can tell you, I've seen this. You've seen this. And it doesn't matter who you are or who I am. The devil doesn't matter. We've got to start praying for each other. Somebody say amen. We've got to start encouraging each other. Hey, we've got to start urging each other on. We've got to start lifting up each other. Why? The time's short. Jesus is coming again. We got to get serious about serving God. We need each other. We need the Lord. And by the way, we can do so much more with each other than we can by ourselves. God help us to fall in line with Jesus. Yes, and hallelujah. Now, number two, and I've got to be brief because my time is going. Number two, there's a high cost for low living. And I'll just simply point that out in verse 9, 10, 11. Paul the apostle is saying, such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to zero in, and I'm going to cut this short if that's all right with you. Look at verse number 12 through verse 20. The last step in the matter of going from legalism to liberty is not only should Christians judge one another in love. Oh yes, first look in the mirror, then look in the mirror of God's Word. Secondly, is there a high cost for low living? Absolutely. And yet the Lord Jesus said through Paul, such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you're sanctified. Now last but not least, who are you trying to please? Here's the deal, brother and sister. Here's the deal. Who are you really trying to please? Today, right now. Hey, can I ask you a question? Why'd you come to church today? Mom and daddy make you? Because you're expected of you? Why'd you come to church today? Well, that really does some cutting through some stuff. Why are you at church today? Did you really come to worship the Lord? Oh, I know it's good. I mean, we're not saved by feelings, but it sure does feel good to be saved. Amen. And I love to be at church. I love to be around God's people. I love to be around the Word of God. I love to be around the praise of God. But you know, every once in a while, every once in a while we've got to step back and say, oh God, have I gotten my eyes off of you and put them on people instead of you? Have I become, more importantly, attached to friendship and kinship more than lordship? Wow, that really cuts through a whole lot of my motives, Lord. And so, who are you here to please? Why are you here today? Is it, Lord, I want to have a heart for you. I'll tell you something. If we're focused on the Lord Jesus and letting Him have His way in our life, we're going to love each other. And we're going to forgive each other when we mess up. We all mess up. We all sometimes take our eyes off the Lord. We all sometimes say something we shouldn't say. Can you agree with me? We all, there's none righteous, not one. And we're not perfect yet. We're not in heaven yet. But Jesus will keep us on track. Look at verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That is, they're not profitable. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then notice what he says in verse 20, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. I want to ask you, I'm closing right now, I didn't plan to, but I feel impressed of the Lord to close. And I'll tell you this, true story, today's February the 5th. How many knew that? February the 5th, 2017. I'll never forget, February the 5th in 1992, I got a telephone call. I prayed for my dear brother, my earthly brother, 8 years. He didn't have time to listen. He had to have his Bud Light. Now he had a good job, worked on the one of Air Force Base. He still works there, by the way, 35 years. And he had a wife and two children and a nice home. He had 12 acres of land. Everything was going for him. But he didn't have time for God. He didn't have time for Jesus. And the Lord burdened my heart to pray for my brother. And I began to say, talk with him, and finally, it got to the point where he didn't want to talk anymore. Maybe I was too overbearing. I probably was. You know, I probably tried to beat him over the head with the Bible. Somebody say amen. Y'all don't do that, do you? I probably might have had a tendency to do that, but y'all never do that, I understand. But I probably did that and said, I just want to talk. I don't talk with you anymore. He hung up the phone on me one day. He said some choice words. I won't say them right now, but anyway. And I won't say them at all, amen, because the Lord's not going to change the outside. He's changed the inside too. By the way, what comes out of our mouth, it comes from our heart. It's kind of like kicking over a trash can. You kick over a trash can, what's in the can comes out, right? Yeah, you think about that for a moment. But anyway, back to the situation. 8 years, he had nothing. He didn't come by. He didn't talk. And of course, you know, I wondered about that. Finally, February the 5th, today, I'm going to call him today. I'm going to send a text to him and say, happy birthday. And here's why. He called me, and I'll never forget it. We was up here, and I heard a broken man on the phone. I heard him broken. And I could hardly understand him. He said, I'm going through a hard time. He said, I need some help. He said, my wife came home from work today. She took the furniture and left, and my children are gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got in my car. I went down to where he was at near Perry, Georgia, and I met with him. And I'll never forget, I looked at him. I looked him right in the face, and I said, Robert, you've tried everything else. When are you going to try Jesus? When are you going to try Jesus? Maybe that's for somebody you today. You've tried this, you've tried that. Why don't you try Jesus? He'll give you peace. He'll give you fulfillment. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you forgiveness. He'll bring meaning into your life. I looked at him, I said, why don't you give Jesus a chance? And he looked at me, I'll never forget it. He said, you know what? I need to give Jesus a chance. He got down on his knees. We prayed all night long. I remember in the morning the sun was coming up and we were still praying. He was crying out to God to save him, forgive him of his sins. And I wish I could tell you he got his wife back, but I'll tell you this, he got Jesus, amen. He got what was more important, Jesus, in his life. And to this day, that was his spiritual birthday, February the 5th, 1992. Hey, how about it, Christian? Do you have a judgmental spirit, a critical spirit? You can fool me, and you can fool your wife or husband, but you can't fool God. God knows your heart. God knows our heart. And today, I believe God will have us to get with him and say, oh, God, I'm sorry for having a self-righteous. You get out there in the world. Are you really compassionate and passionate about people who are not saved? Or do we kind of walk around and feel superior, you know? God help us. God help us. Stand to your feet, would you, today?